This morning's responsive reading came from Proverbs chapter 20, verses 16 to 30. So we have concluded now the first 20 chapters of the book of Proverbs, and this happens to be our third journey through this book of wisdom. As I said in the past, when you read this portion of the book of Proverbs, you have what's called truisms, things that Solomon could look all around him, and he sees certain principles, certain behaviors, certain type of thinking, certain types of actions would always lead basically to the same consequence or to the same result. It could either be a good result or it could be a bad result. And so that's what we come to here. We get these little vignettes, these truisms of life, life in general, that if you do this or you do that, you can almost expect a certain result that comes back to you. Notice in verse 17, for instance, bread of deceit is sweet to a man. You got to admit, even the Bible tells us that there's pleasure in sin, but it only lasts but for a season. Eventually, you have to go find yourself another type of sin to give you a more better high or a more ecstasy to a higher level of pleasure or enjoyment. And so the bread of deceit. And when you look at our culture today, beloved, there's a whole lot of deceit going on. You got deceit in the media, politics, military, even in religion. And those who are being deceptive, that food that they consume that aggravates and enhances their ability to deceive a nation, for instance, it goes down pretty good. It's sweet to have power and to misuse that power. For instance, the Supreme Court just recently ruled that student loan debt is not to be erased or even paid by the taxpayer. So what is Biden doing? Versus abiding by the law of the land, he's trying to find a way to skirt around the Supreme Court. Deceit. To him, it's sweet. But then notice, but afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Have you ever put marbles in your mouth and try to talk? What about gravel? What about rocks? Some kids are stupid enough to eat dirt and put stuff in their mouth that they get off the ground. Then they pay the consequences of choking a bit. But so notice what it says. The bread of deceit is sweet. So when it comes to sin, sin can be very sweet. It can be very pleasurable. It'll give you a good high, especially if you take that deceit and you mix it with power. The ability to send armies off and to be decimated in gunfire. To know that you have the power to send thousands of men to their death. Or what about having the power to put people in prison because their viewpoints don't agree with you? So you put them away. And then you deceive the nation on why you put them away. That's going on even now. Then verse 18. Now verse 18 is a good verse. There's a principle in verse 18. When it comes to making a very important decision in life, it says every purpose or any plan of attack, whether it's a major move from one city to another, what about joining a church? The way things are going today, beloved, just because there's a steeple on a building with pretty glass-stained windows, there's no guarantee that on the inside you're going to hear truth. You might hear some stuff that makes your toes curl. When it comes to major decisions, every purpose is established by what? Counsel. And with good advice, make war. So notice the Hebrewism here. Every purpose is established by counsel. So what is the modifier? What is the synonym for counsel? And with good advice, not just simply advice, but good advice, make war. So every purpose apparently is something that you plan to do to attack a certain situation. Not necessarily going into battle, but maybe you're in debt and you want to attack this debt that hangs over your head. Or maybe you have an unruly child. How am I going to attack, not the child in battle, but how can I attack the attitude in my child or the misbehavior that is there? Well, seek counsel. And if you're going to go to war and send men to their death, at least do it with some good advice. I shared this recently at a meeting. The guys in the trenches in World War I eventually came up with a nice quote, a nice saying, that they were lions led by donkeys. Some of the advice that these men were given led to 10 million deaths in World War I, where whole communities back in England were totally wiped out of an entire young male population, leaving women with no chances of marriage, let alone families, decimating a whole generation of young men. Look at verses 20. I think verse 20 is seen in the local mall or in the local grocery store. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Beloved, today you're not even shocked when you go into a store and you see some little kid in the little push buggy there where you can put a child. I've seen children sitting in that little push buggy slapping their mother to no end. And the mom just taking it. I mean, she's still checking out prices while this kid is beating on his mom and screaming at her. Well, if that's not stopped eventually, then that young man's going to grow up probably to be a criminal and kill someone. Whoso curseth his father or his mother. You see a whole lot of that today. There was one lady, I'll use the word lady carefully, female. One female on Facebook was bragging that she sued her parents because they gave birth to her. This female must have a demented mind. Suing your parents because they happened to bring you into this world out of the intimacy of their love? You're going to sue them for bringing you into this world? Oh well. What about verse 22? Say not, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. I think this answers to Jesus' comments about not taking vengeance into our own hand. Someone does something to you, what is the natural reaction of the human heart? Oh, I'm going to get you back. Payback is rough. You ever hear someone say that? Payback is going to be rough. When I come back at you, it's going to be just, the pain's going to be double what you gave me. What about somebody in the church that raises up their little ugly heads like a rattlesnake? And just turn them over to the Lord. Let the Lord take care of them. But wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. He'll deliver you from your adversaries. Now then, look at verse 24. Talk about the sovereignty of God being implied very, very boldly with no apology. Man's goings are of the Lord. So everyone's thinking that you are the captain or the co-pilot, that you are pilot and co-pilot to your life. Not so. Even the atheist doesn't realize that his life is still in God's hands. And God will turn and move even the vilest atheist the way God wants him to move. Yes, even his saints. That's what it says. Man's goings are of the Lord. How could a man then understand his own way? So much for psychobabble. So much for shrinks trying to crawl into someone's mind and determine what is wrong with them. Man doesn't even know how to fathom his own mind. So what, you're going to go to some shrink or some brain doctor that's going to crawl into your life and find out what makes you tick? The Bible says, how can a man then understand even his own way? If God is the one behind the movers and shakers of this world, Where does that leave puny man in the so-called discovery of his inner being or his inner self? And then finally, we look at verses 28. Mercy and truth preserve the king. Well, beloved, there's no mercy and there's no truth coming out of the White House. And because there is no mercy and no truth, Mr. Biden has no hope to be preserved. And his throne is upheld by what? Mercy. Beloved, there's no mercy coming out of the White House. All I see is pain and misery, despair and despondency. Beloved, there's no mercy coming out of Congress. And even the best decisions handed down by 9 judges in the Supreme Court, there's no mercy coming from that level. Sometimes you don't even find mercy amongst those who claim to be Christians. You may not find a church that knows how to even demonstrate mercy. Maybe it's because they haven't been shown mercy, starting with the Lord in salvation and starting amongst themselves within their own family. Are you a merciful person? Or do you demand automatic retribution at the drop of a hat? Are we a very gracious and merciful people? Only time will tell. And then verse 29, the glory of young man is their strength. And that's true. We got several grandchildren right now that are 18 years old and older. And when you look at them, they're fit, muscular, you know, their skin is so elastic. They get all this energy and all this vitality to them. But it also says the beauty of old men is what? Their gray hair. They've earned each one of them. And so notice, whether it's in youth or whether in old age, there is a sense of glory and therefore a sense of honor to be given as well. Well, may the Lord choose in his wisdom to bless his word. Amen.